Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work.
Hello, and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Anas, and with me is my very musical friend, Grace. Grace, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? I'm recording right next to my piano that I haven't played in many years, but I suppose I am pretty musical. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm trying to think if I've seen you ever play the piano. I don't think so. We need to fix that. We need to fix that. But yeah, we're talking music because we wanted to do a Wheel of Time Idol episode because that's coming up. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, it's honestly maybe my favorite fandom event of the past few years. And now we've had two of them and it's now at the point where it's something I look forward to. So I am really excited about it.
Yeah. And, you know, given that, I was like, well, we need to have a couple of guests who've done some parodies that we've loved to listen to and enjoy. So let's introduce our guests for today. We have with us Salia O'Neer and Miss Sarah James. Welcome to The Lights Work.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, no, this I'm so glad to have a couple of people who, Grace, I should include you in this. You had a wonderful parody last year too, that we can delve into the process of making a parody and all of that. Are you guys excited, Sarah? Are you excited about Wheel of Time Idol?
Terrified. not excited too, but terrified, yeah.
Why are you terrified?
Oh, I can't sing. I have no editing skills.
Lies.
Just have enormous self-confidence issues. We'll leave it at that instead of me giving the 10-hour long laundry list of my insecurities.
Well, I think we all have those. And it's always the case that the way you assess yourself is very different from how others see you. And I have loved your parodies both years. And I think your first year, you were a finalist. So I think I'm not alone in really enjoying the artistry and creativity that you put into your work. So I am excited to see what you come up with this year. And you tweeted today. You've been tweeting your progress on your parody. So Anas and I wanted to ask you about that.
What a great template for everyone, right? The fact that so tell us, you know, what made you put out this tweet that you had today?
Procrastination, pure and simple. I need a little mental health break. And so I tweeted something that was related to what I was doing, but let me goof off, because what is better than procrastination?
I mean, the art of procrastination, you know, how well someone can procrastinate. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I think there is something to be said about how much time and effort one can spend procrastinating and not actually put that time and effort into things that you need to actually do.
Well, there is the idea that it's not like we didn't know this was going to be happening. We've known from a year ago that they would probably have another one. So of course I'm waiting until days before the competition to actually pull everything together. I have so much admiration for the people that are like, oh, I've got mine ready to go. They open the thing. I've submitted it. We're good to go. I've got another year before. That's not me. That is not me.
All right. So we're going to jump into all of that. But Sally, let me ask you about So your name there. Tell us about that. Where does that come from? Tell us about, you know, that. And what we like to ask people on our podcast is their origin story for the Wheel of Time. So yeah, what is that origin story for you?
Yes. Yeah, so since you asked about the name, Salia actually comes from the Eye of the World. It's one of the names that Tom mentions when he's in the Emmons Field, telling the villagers about all the different stories that he can tell them. And I think Egwene actually requests that one specifically, Salia and how she danced among the stars. So the Al O'Neer is of the stars in the Old Tongue. And my brother actually helped me pick that out. He's the one who actually introduced me to the series. He's 4 years older than me, and he got into it when he was in middle school. And so I've known the name Robert Jordan since I was 8 years old, but I didn't actually pick up the series to read it myself until like 2010. So my brother, I think I was lamenting not having anything to read, and my brother knew that I had really enjoyed Harry Potter. I had also read The Lord of the Rings at that time, but he didn't know that, apparently. And he was like, well, this series is very different, but why don't you try The Wheel of Time? And I did, and I really loved it, and I kept texting to him, like, oh my god, this is amazing, and sending him quotes that I really enjoyed, and anytime that it got to a moment that was really exciting, I was able to write to him about it, and we both felt very similar about this characters and everything, so it kind of just fed off of it, and we really bonded over the series and over our love of Matt specifically, because he turned into both of our favorite character. He's a favorite character for both of us.
Yeah, no. So what you're saying is Ty Shar Salia's brother, because they exactly. introduced you to the series. So that's awesome. Yeah, I recently, you know, obviously read Origins, and there's the mention of how Tom's speech there has all these references to the, you know, to our world and things like that. I don't remember Salia because I actually like went back and read that. So that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Salia.
If you want to know,
yeah.
If ahead. You want to know, it's actually Sally Fields, the first female astronaut.
Okay. Was, now yeah, he, Sally I think Rad? He mentions.
I think, or maybe. Okay, it could be Sally.
Google Wright. It.
Yes, please it's Sally do because I haven't. Please do because I haven't had a chance to actually read Origins yet. I have it. I had my brother purchase it, and then my mom brought it with her when she came to visit me. But I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and read it yet.
I think that's in there. I'm pretty sure Sally Ride and...
Len, L-E-N-N for John Glenn is in there too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That's awesome. Well, cool. So Sarah, what about you? Wheel of Time origin story. What has this journey been like for you?
Oh, I like to write, so I'm going to try and be brief instead of telling you the 10-hour saga of how I got into the Wheel of Time.
We want 15 books. That's what we want.
So I was in the Navy from January of 1987 through May of 1991. So when the books came out, I was actually stationed in San Diego, California. And I liked to walk to this one bookstore to look for fantasy and science fiction to read. And I remember going in and seeing those trade paperbacks of The Eye of the World that were more common than the paperbacks, more common than the hardcovers, because it was the first book that came out that I can recall where they didn't really have hardcovers as their first edition. They were trade paperbacks as the first edition. And I remember being kind of curious about that. And at the time, one of the ways that I rated the quality of the writing was by who they got to do the cover art. And if you saw a Darrell K. Sweet cover art, you didn't know what the book was about, but you knew that the editors had faith that it was going to do well, or they didn't get him to do the cover art. So seeing that he did the cover art, I was like, okay, I want to do this. But I looked at it and I was like, this looks like a trilogy. I might wait until the third book is out in paperback before picking it up. So I didn't buy it in 90 when it came out, but I definitely saw it and definitely noticed it and was like, I'm waiting till I have all three because it's going to drive me nuts to wait for the second and the third book.
So what if they told you, we're going to have 14 books and,
I would have,
you know, a new author.
I don't even know what would have happened to my poor young brain if I had known all of that in advance. But the following year, in like June or July, not long after I got out of the military, I was in Oneonta, New York, in a bookstore in the mall near to the village where I grew up, which, by the way, is in the confluence of two rivers. So I've always liked that.
Yeah.
And I saw the trade paperback for The Great Hunt. And I was like, ooh, the trade paperback for the second book is out. They've got to have a paperback for the third book soon. It's got to be coming. So, and someone sidled up to me and they're like, oh, I see you're looking at the Wheel of Time books. Have you read them yet? And I was like, no, I'm waiting for the third one to come out so I can read them all in one go. And he's like, oh, you shouldn't wait. They're so good. You should buy it. And I was like, I don't know who this creeper is that's walking up to next to me trying to sell me on this book series. But I didn't wait for the third book to come out in trade paperback. I was like, you know what? I've got to have it. So I got The Great Hunt. I got it in trade paperback because it was the only thing that was out at that time. I don't think the paperback had quite come out yet. And I went back and got the paperback for The Eye of the World. And I started reading the paperback for The Eye of the World. And I was just hooked. By like the second or the third chapter, I was so deep in it, there was no turning back. And so I waited anxiously for the third book to come out. It came back out and I consumed it. And that was the point where I realized what you were talking about, Anas, not a trilogy, not a trilogy, but I was hooked. I was a goner by then. I was
the hooks were in
two
deep.
Feet in and yeah. I was in the deep end.
Thanks for sharing that because I didn't know that, you know, I knew Darrell K. Sweet was this big name, but I didn't realize that you could actually go into that much sort of like, oh, who did this, you know, cover art? And
Yeah. He did the covers for the Lord of the Covenant books, or the Thomas Covenant books, I mean
to
say.
Oh, wow.
And those he did the covers cool, for yeah. the... Yeah, and he did the covers for a bunch of Piers Anthony's books. There's a couple of other ones that he did that you just, if you see his art, you just kind of knew. And not just him, but there were a couple of others as well. But he definitely stands out. His art style is very unique and it caught my eye.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for sharing that. And, you know, now that, you know, you're part of this fandom now and the Wheel of Time idol, or as sometimes it's called, the Wheel of Time song parody contest or song parody challenge. The third edition is coming up in about a month's time. So just to kind of drop some information about that, I think the submission is on deadline is on a Monday, April 3rd. I'm sure the two of you know that really well.
Oh, yes. And,
oh, yes. I took it off from work. So if I have to do any last minute editing, I have that day off from work to have it.
That is dedication. To use for
pro tip, guys. Pro tip. People listening, that is a pro tip right there.
And I may have this upcoming Thursday and Friday off to do recording of a video. So I may have deliberately taken a 4-day weekend to work on a video. It will probably be horrible, but it will be done.
Based on your submissions the past 2 years, that's going to be amazing.
I can't wait.
Thank you for bringing that up, because Grace, what do you remember of our guests' parodies from the last year and the year before?
Well, it was interesting, Salia, that you mentioned Matt being is he your favorite character? I know you said you liked him, but is he your favorite?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So your parody was...
I'm surprised you asked that question. Okay.
Well, you can edit it out.
No, I'm just... Yeah.
I'm not a big Matt fan, so I always just, you know, I...
You're like, are you sure you're a Matt fan?
Is that your final answer? But your parody was of Matt, and you actually cosplayed as Matt, and you were such a good Matt that Anas and I actually fan cast you as Matt in our fan version of The Wheel of Time. So your song was a parody of You're Welcome by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And maybe you could just tell us a little bit about what your inspiration was for that song and, you know, what made you decide to write that parody.
Well, honestly, I'm not sure where inspiration comes from, but I was sitting in the kitchen with my daughter and we were listening to the Moana soundtrack, and that sound came on, and personally it's my favorite on that soundtrack. It's just such a fun song, and I realized, you know, that song really fits Matt perfectly. Like this somewhat cocky guy saying, listing all of these things that makes him amazing, but actually everybody is angry with him in the background. So yeah, when I thought of that, I went and wrote the stanza that is the scene in The Stone. I want to be careful about spoilers. And then I just like set it aside. I was like, I can't think of anything else. And months went by, and I never thought, like, I had listened to the Watt Idol contest from last year. I didn't tune in live because of the time difference and because I actually didn't know about the Dusty Wheel at that time. That was actually my introduction to the Dusty Wheel. Once again, from my brother, he sent me the link and he was like, these are really amazing. You should check this out. So again, Taishar to him, who is actually, the Dark One's advocate on Discord and on Twitter, just so you know.
Nice.
So yeah, it wasn't until the village council was announcing that Watt Idol was going to happen and asking for people to submit parodies and everything, and they were talking about how we really want everybody in the community to make one. It's not about the talent. It's not about the singing talent. It's not about the video. It's about sharing this thing that we all love, and we can't make this happen if you guys don't participate. And so that just like really inspired me to sit down, and I was like, okay, I have this idea and it's really good, so I'm just going to sit down and write it out. And that night I just wrote out the rest of the song. And obviously I had to like tweak some things afterward, like some of the lyrics I kind of struggled with a little bit, but the majority of the song I just wrote out right after their announcement. Yeah, that's how the song was born. And I was like, am I really going to submit this? But I was like, the lyrics are so good, I want to share this with people. So I was like, I have to make a video. And I thought, I will never make a video where I'm like showing my face. I'm just going to do like fan art, pull fan art from places and do something like that. But then I started looking around and I was like, I don't know who made these things. I can't source any of this fan art. And I really want to like tell people like where they can find it and who actually made it, like give credit. So then I was like, okay, if I'm not going to use fan art, then I guess I just have to make a video myself. So it just kind of like, the whole time I was thinking to myself, I'm never going to do that. And then I end up doing it. So
there are many things that Anas and I both thought we would never do that we have done since becoming part of the fandom. So that's very relatable. And I can relate to what you said about at a certain point, even if you're nervous about it or reluctant, you start to feel like I have to share this because it's just so, you become so fond of it and you feel like it, you feel, you know, good about what you have to say and you just have to get it out. And the point where you can start like laughing at your own jokes or at your own lyrics, even if you aren't an expert or not the best singer, it's just that act of like sharing what you've done that's really fun about this competition.
Yes, and believe me, I'm not an expert in any of this. Like, I looked up Audacity, or I found Audacity and downloaded it. I only knew how to record my voice and absolutely no other feature. So You're Welcome is one take, because I couldn't figure out how to do other takes. So, yeah, that and the video and just... and. I actually never sang out loud before my daughter was born. I would always sing under my breath, actually. Even when I was by myself, I would just always just sing under my breath. I didn't start singing out loud until she was born, and then I would only sing to her. So, yeah, this is the first time. I definitely never would have done this if the community wasn't just so kind and supportive. I was like, I would never submit this just to the general internet, but to the Dusty Wheel and the Wheel of Time fandom and what has been cultivated there, I felt like it was a really safe space. So I felt safe actually sharing it. Still super nervous, but I knew that people weren't going to be mean. And that made a really big difference.
Well, you know, thank you for sharing that with us, and you know, with all the fans, and you know, and you know, we can say, you know, you can tell your daughter that other people have heard you sing now, other than her, just her.
I mean, so if other people are around, they'll hear me too. But
and can I just add that the costuming was delightful. Your hat that you picked for Matt is now my new headcanon for Matt's hat. And that was a tough thing to do, was to replace my previous headcanon for Matt's hat.
Oh, she has the hat. Yeah. Everybody, she's putting the hat on. Oh my gosh.
Does it really fit over the headphones?
I'm having a fangirl moment right now.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Yeah, it just happens to be in the room.
I mean, I'm going to go further. I think it's not just the hat. I think the whole look, the Ashindarai, all of that is headcanon Matt right now. So no, thank you. Thank you for for sharing that, for all of that. You know, it was wonderful. Sarah, what about you? You've done a couple of parodies, and how did you come about doing parodies and doing the ones you did? And have you done, you know, like, have you sung before? Have you done parodies before?
Well, my mother would say that I really should have been in choir in high school, and I wasn't. And it was a great disappointment to her, because as every mother believes of their child, I have a beautiful singing voice. But that's my mom. I
don't, as an aside, you do. You do.
I agree with your.
Yeah.
So, but I do like Weird Al Yankovic, who I have thrown the gauntlet down, but he's not gonna enter. But I've thrown the gauntlet down anyway on Twitter, hoping.
Oh, that would be amazing.
But, yeah, it would be really amazing. So I think everybody knows his parodies. And when I saw the call for submissions that first year, I was like, I don't know if I can be funny. I don't know if I can be funny, but I know I could be depressing. So I was like, I could do a parody and do it different and not try to be funny and still do a parody. And that I might be able to do. And I've always loved that not only the original song Hurt by Nine Inch Nails, but the Johnny Cash cover of Hurt that he did of that Nine Inch Nails song. And I was like, what could be more Rand than Hurt by Johnny Cash? And so after that, it was just, you know, banging my head against the wall, trying to come up with lyrics. And it was a lot easier than I thought it would be. I've written poetry in the past. And so I've written some songs of my own that will almost, you know, they're out there, but they're not great. They're fun. They're a fun little distraction, but they're not great. So I threw together some lyrics and it was like, okay, this is mixing several things that I like to do. It's mixing writing and it's mixing music, which I enjoy. And it's mixing the Wheel of Time that I love. And it was just a happy coincidence, this wonderful Venn diagram of these many different things that I enjoy. And so, yeah, I just put the lyrics together and then it was like, great, I've got lyrics. I have no idea how to record this. I have no idea how to shoot a video. I have no idea how to edit a video. Let's figure it out. And as in so many things in life, Google was my friend. He went looking. Yep. And I did some asking and I did some things. And I probably did it in a way that is horrible and broken and would not work for anybody else. For example, in that first video, everybody's like, oh, that's so artistic. But like 9/10 of the art was I couldn't figure out how to do a proper crossfade in the software that I was doing. And so it gave it this kind of broken, drug-induced kind of hazy crossfades, and it just happened to work for what the video was doing.
I mean, you're so artistic that you didn't even have to do it, like it just happened. So, you know, when it flows out of you, like you don't even have to do it. So, yeah.
So
it's naive healing, you know? It's,
So, but yeah, it's interesting. When I shot the video for that video, Blame, the parody of Hurt, I went out with my old camcorder, and because I knew that I could get the files from that onto my computer, I went out and I went on the street by my house, and it was winter and there was snow on the ground. And so I shot it all in one take, and I did like three takes of it. And I was like, I'll edit it together in different, you know, shots and things, and somehow I will figure it out and make it look good. And so I started throwing it together and it was like, oh, that looks pretty good. But it is entirely too much of my face. There is way too much of my face in this video. And so I went back out with the camera and I shot trees, and I went for a drive in my car and stuck the camera out the window and shot the scenery driving by, and I shot reflections of water. I shot everything that was like a nature shot that wasn't my face so that I could edit it in. And then it started to be like, oh, this is starting to look like a real video. So I'll tweak this, I'll do this, I'll do that. And it just kind of ended up being what it is. But it wasn't like I went into it with a grand plan. And the plan that I did go into it with was not what ended up happening. It was, there's a thing with war and battle, and I think the saying is something like, no strategy ever survives the first moment of combat, or something
right
like that.
Yeah
And that's kind of what this was. I went into it with this grand strategy and it fell apart like right away. So I just had to kind of improvise and make it work on the fly, and it happened. And that's kind of what I did last year for Luckview, and that's kind of what I'm doing this year for this thing that I am working on.
Beep.
Beep. teaser. No, we can't do that. I have a comment and then a question. My comment is, I might reference Zen diagram in chat forever in the future now with you, Sarah. So I'm just putting it out there. Grace, what is your process of? I mean, hey, how did you end up writing your parody last year?
Oh, I didn't.
Which was wonderful, by the way.
I was not expecting to be interviewed here.
Hey, this is the lights work.
Yeah, it's true. There's always surprises. It's funny you mentioned Weird Al, Sarah, because I grew up with a lot of Weird Al in my household. Weird Al just happens to be on par with my dad's sense of humor. And my dad also has five brothers, and they all have that same sense of humor as well. So, and they're all musical too. So Anas, you're not wrong. I do come from a musical family, and many of them play guitar, and you know, they're always listening to music. They know a lot about music history, have tons of records, all that stuff. So those two things coming together, my dad and his brothers were always making up parodies all the time. Even just like, if you're in the car listening to a song, they would just start replacing the lyrics with like really goofy stuff. Like I remember songs about my cat's cat food. I remember songs about beer. I remember like just random stuff. So I always sort of had a fondness for that type of humor and that type of creativity. So when I saw the first competition, I think I had an idea before, but didn't have enough time to really like execute it. So I just was a spectator the first year. But I was just so in love with what happened, both in terms of what people did and the songs that they shared, but also the way people reacted, kind of like what you were saying, Salia, just how nice everyone was being and what a safe space it was. And you know, it doesn't matter what people submitted or how they sang or, you know, anything. It was just everybody supported everybody and appreciated everybody. So I really felt like I really wanted to enter the second year. So I did. And I actually did a different idea than I originally had. I think I started with the song. I thought like, okay, well, what's something I can sing? So I picked a song by Jewel because I know a lot of Jewel songs, and I feel like I can sing somewhat like her and in her range. So I picked a song, and then from there on, it sort of just came to me. And I spent a lot of time writing the lyrics. I would go for walks during my lunch break at work, and I would like start singing it in my head and coming up with different ideas. And it must have changed like 50 times before I got to the final version of it. So probably spent most of my time on the lyrics. And then from there, you know, recording and doing the video was a little bit faster, although I was sort of teaching myself as I went along how to do all of those things on Audacity and video software, things like that. But I definitely agree with what Sarah was saying about you can't get too attached to any sort of plan, because there's always things that are going to happen or change, and maybe happy accidents even. But that's part of the fun, is sort of just seeing where it goes once you get it started. So yeah, that's how my parody came to be last year. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do one this year. I would love to, but if not, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy everybody else's.
Cool. Thank you. No, I think hearing that perspective from the three of you, I am not creative in that way. I just am not. So do not expect a parody.
We're all making very skeptical faces right now at you.
Let me say, Anas, that I never thought of myself as being creative, and I've never written anything. Like, just for fun. It was all just, like, school projects and stuff. So, just because you haven't done it before doesn't mean that you can't.
No, I I understand that so well as I'm sitting here recording a podcast. but again, like probably a lot of you, when you thought of doing these parodies, you know, seeing all the love that you get during the live live chat, watching the shows, and just seeing, you know, how accepting everyone is, I definitely had, I'm like, I'm gonna do a parody. And then I slowly realized as the year went by, I'm like, I don't think I can do this. I've done other things and I think I can do those things. This, I don't think so. So I don't know, maybe, hey, you never know, right? But
if you can sing karaoke, you can do a parody.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't sing karaoke and I still did a parody.
That was going to be my out there, that I can't sing karaoke, but I can't use that now.
Nope, you can. So Sarah, you tweeted, as I mentioned before, you've been tweeting about your process. So I'm just going to read out this list for everybody who didn't happen to see Sarah's tweet. So the steps that you have listed are song selected, lyrics written, karaoke track prepped, vocals recorded, audio edited, video planned, costume purchases,
costumes.
Video recorded, video edited, and then submitted. So are those basically the steps that you go through? Is that your process? Is there anything in there that, you know, might change or something you might add to that process? Or is that basically it?
With a few minor things, yeah, that is my process. The very first year, I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes on what my plan was the first year. The first year was, it's a song parody contest, not a video parody contest. Mm. So I was focused on doing audio. So I was like, I tried to play Johnny Cash's version of Hurt and realized very quickly that my guitar skills were not up to the challenge. So I was like, okay, if this is going to happen, change number one has to be, I have to find a karaoke track. So I went and found a karaoke track and I had to figure out a way to get it in an audio file so that I could edit it. And long story short, I got the audio clip done and I got the song part of it done. I got the lyrics written. I sang it to the karaoke track. I edited it. I had audio. And I was like, well, it's not a video contest. So let me open a PowerPoint, slap a single image in there and do a PowerPoint over a single image with just the lyrics. And that very nearly became my first entry, was one of the concept art of Shadar Logoth, with Rand riding up the street and kind of that New York City-esque or Chicago-esque street with a dome in the background with Rand riding, very nearly became my video. It was just a static image with lyrics in a PowerPoint presentation with the audio in the background. And I'm so sorry, Grace, I forgot the original question.
Oh, it was just about your process, just the steps that you listed on Twitter. So yeah, I think you answered that.
Oh yes. that is my process though, is it's just exactly what I listed there. That's what I do. That's kind of the formula that I follow and it works-ish for me.
Kind of like the process I have, you know, where you write stuff down, but as you're talking, you forget what the question is and you start doing other stuff. That's what I do too. And it's relatable. I was so happy to see that kind of list. I love making lists like that. And I love, you know, checking a checklist like that. So the fact that you made it is, I think, huge service to people like myself. Well, not really. I'm not making videos over parodies, but still, I think it's a big help to people out there because they can be like, whoa. I mean, I think people might be like, whoa, these are the steps that I need to do. And wow, there are only like 7 or 8 things and I've maybe done 2 of them. So it's, you know, it's at least to me motivation. So thank you for putting that out there. Yeah.
Oh, well. You're welcome. Can I steal that side? You're welcome.
Please do. Yes. That makes me so happy.
Celia, is that pretty much your process as well? Is it similar to Sarah's steps, or do you have a different way of doing it?
I mean, I think Sarah pretty much covered all of the steps that you can. The first thing is figuring out exactly the song and what could actually fit with the song that you choose, or trying to match up an event or a character with a song that you feel really fits them. And then from there, I'll have like, sometimes lyrics will just pop in my head and I'll like type it into my phone so that I can save it for later. And once I collect enough of those, I can sort of start to see an outline, and then I'm like, okay, I have to sit down and actually figure out the whole song based on the original song, try to figure out where we can match the original lyrics as close as possible. I definitely have the most fun with writing the lyrics. And then from there, I've expanded on what I can do with audio editing and things. But once you have the lyrics, I just start to storyboard in my head what kind of visuals I want to go along with that. And once the audio is recorded, then I try to work towards the visual side. I actually have made other parodies, but none of them with video. They're all just with pictures. Like, none of my recorded video. I've pulled video from the series and also from Winter Dragon once to go along with my other parodies. But I think basically yes. The short answer is that yes. That's my same process. Those steps.
Yeah. Again, as a failed parody writer creator, I can say that those steps made me realize, hey, maybe I could do this. But the biggest problem I've had, and maybe you guys can maybe say something about this, is I'm maybe listening to a song that I'm like, whoa, this would be a great parody, but then I feel like it's like too good by itself. Like, I don't need to change it. This sounds like Rand, you know. Rands.
Oh no. Those are the best ones to do a parody of.
But I'm like, I don't want to change it. That's the problem I have. I'm like, whoa, this is just perfect by itself.
it's like building a house. If you don't have a good foundation to build on,
that's true.
It's gonna collapse in on itself. And if you pick a great song, that is the foundation of a great parody. Well, part of the foundation. The lyrics are maybe, if I'm going to continue with this metaphor, that's the framework for the house.
Yeah.
And then you're just hanging everything else off of that. The great foundation and then the framework for the house have to be there. And so, no, I disagree with you. if you're saying this is such a great song that I don't want to ruin it with my, oh, because I'm awful and I'm not as good as the... No, that is when you dive right in. That's when you go, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Somebody used that Lady Gaga song from the remake of A Star Is Born. I can't remember the actual name of it, but it's I'm in the Deep End. Hope that doesn't cause a copyright notice.
Nope.
And that is just such a powerful song and a powerful lyric that it was made to be made a parody of. And when somebody did that, I was like, yes. But the flip side of that, the danger of that, is Bohemian Rhapsody. And that first year, how many Bohemian Rhapsody entries were there? 4, 5, 6? I can't remember. And that's actually my nightmare fuel, is that I've picked a song that's too good and there's going to be like 5 entries with a song that I've picked. So right up until contest day, and we've gone through all of the entries and I can breathe a sigh of relief. Nobody else picked the song that I pick. That's one that I'm going to be sweating. I've sweated it every year. I am sweating it even more this year because I picked my song back in the fall, and I can't say anymore, but I have concerns. I have concerns.
Okay. So, thank you so much for sharing that process. I'm sure this will be helpful for people when they listen. But, you know, if you think of Watt Idol, Real Time Idol, as an event, what do you think makes it such a special event for the fandom and in the fandom? Celia, what's it about, you know, this event?
I think what's so amazing, what I find so amazing about Watt Idol is that it's like the one competition where winning really doesn't matter. Like nobody, when I entered, I was like, okay, I know this isn't going to win, but I just want to share it with everybody. And I was actually shocked that I made it to the finals because I just never anticipated that at all. And yeah, behind the scenes, like on the Discord server and on Twitter, you see everybody just cheerleading each other on, giving tips, telling them like, oh, you can use this program or that you can use these editing tools to do this with your video or with your audio. You know, in no other competition are you going to find the contestants helping each other out as much as you see in Watt Idol. And same with chat, just like you said, everybody is just so supportive and so excited. I think that's the main thing, is that everybody's so enthusiastic and so happy to just see and hear all of these parodies. That's what makes it really special for me.
Yeah, what about you, Sarah? What do you think? Why do you think this is so special for you?
What is the name of this podcast again? The Lights Work? I think that the defining characteristic of this fandom is how much love there is in the air and how much we care for each other as a community. And I don't know, I'm not really a part of others' fandoms, but it doesn't seem like it's as much there in other fandoms. And I really think that's the secret ingredient for the Idol contest, is that everybody is just so loving and supportive and exceptionally kind, and we're all just having fun with it together. It's just, not to get all sappy here, but it's a blessing.
No, please do.
Yes, that's what we're all about. More sappiness, please.
Yeah, it's just... Where else can an introvert that doesn't believe themselves get so much love and affirmation in such a short span of time? It's like a game show and the prize is love. Who wouldn't want to be part of that? So that's my take on it. I mean, every insecurity that I have is just washed away. I'm like, oh, those vocals aren't great. And then you see a comment, oh, your vocals are so good. You're such a good singer. And I'm like, well, the video is awful. And they're like, how did you come up with this great editing of the video? And I'm like, oh, this is just a horrible lyric. And they're like, that is my favorite lyric. And it's like every awful thought that plagues your own head just gets... The community just has a knack for shining the light where it needs to be shined to make you feel good about yourself.
Because I was going to say, what do we call it, Grace? Frandom acts of kindness?
Frandom acts of kindness?
Frandom?
I don't think it's this one, though.
This is not, it's not random.
No, it's not random. It's not random at all.
Fandom act of kindness.
It's our fan. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. This is just fandom.
Just straight fandom this time. Yeah. No, having been the recipient of that prize of love that you talked about, Sarah, like that, the outpouring of love that you get when you put yourself out there, there's nothing like it, because it is scary and you can be excited to share it and you can think it's kind of funny, you know, but you still do get wrapped up sometimes in, oh, that could have been better, or that detail sucks, or, oh, I've screwed that up. But the chat and the comments and, you know, people sharing your video afterwards, the things that they say are just so uplifting and kind, and they definitely focus on your strengths, and that is wonderful. And then it's also wonderful to give that in return to others. Like, I just love, you know, watching the videos and, you know, saying nice things to people and telling them what I appreciate about them, and then having all the like emojis and chat scrolling down, and you know, it's just really there's nothing like it. So I do think it's a very magical event for sure.
And the near continuous riot of "Don't make us choose, these are all so great."
Yes, yes.
Yes, it's always, no, this is the worst choice. This one is.
Yep. They're all the worst choice.
That is true. Yeah, you know, it is like no one vote. This one, no one vote, right?
We abstain forever.
but yeah, no, I think, yeah, it's just it's a wonderful event to be part of, you know, from
I'm sorry, Anna.
No, go ahead. Yeah. No, I was just gonna say, even looking from like the outside, like you know, this is like you wanna show, hey, what's Twitter of Time, Wheel of Time fandom all about? You're like, hey kid, just watch this live stream and it'll be put on display in the best manner. Yeah.
I actually felt bad the first year with Blame. There was that the one video with the Gautier song that I was up against, and I was like, oh, this is such a good song, I hope it wins, it's so much better than my song. And I felt so horrible that mine went forward and theirs didn't, because it was such an amazing song. And the line about the two letters in that cracks me up still anytime that I think about it. It's just, there's so much, there's just so much talent and so much humor, and it's just, where else can you feel that good?
The talent that you see, it's like, you know, you see all this talent, but what really shines through, the you know, the light and the love, that just is just so amazing to see. And, you know, thank you for doing that, you know, for putting yourself out there in that manner, and you know, contributing and making sure. I mean, I've seen both of you be such staunch, you know, supporters and hyping up the upcoming, you know, edition of What Idol. So thank you for doing that. And I'm excited, you know, that we're having that again, and more people who've, you know, participated in the past, new people who've come to this fandom are able to witness all of that again. I'm really, really excited about that.
I was just going to ask, is if there's something in particular about this year's event that you're really looking forward to the most?
Thalia?
You were going to say something, right, Sarah? I mean, I don't think it's any like one specific thing. I've basically been looking forward to this event since the last year's event finished. Like, I was, even in like November, I was thinking, when can I start asking the village council when What Idol will be? Should I let the holidays go by? Should I give them a calm holiday season before I start asking them? So, yeah, no, it's just, it's everything. To the extent that I will most likely this year, just like last year, wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to tune in live to just be part of the live event and the voting, even though I have a 1 month old at home. So, you know, sleep is very precious at the moment.
I feel about it like, kind of like I felt about my trip to JordanCon last year. I'm not going to be able to go to JordanCon this year, but last year I took 2 weeks of vacation so I could have time off before the con and after the con. But when it got close enough to con, I was thinking about, I was just like, I can't think about this. I can't think about it. I'll just excite myself into an early grave. it's that little kid on Christmas morning. You just, it's Santa and presents and Christmas dinner, and it's like any holiday that you could imagine where you just are so hyped for it that if you think about it too much, you'll just explode. So I'm kind of trying to trick myself into not thinking about it and just focusing on stressing out about the video and the music and focusing on that, because if I think about it too much, I won't be able to function. I just won't.
So. Excitement overload. Yeah, I feel that.
I think we call it, what do we call it? We call it squee.
Squee. Yeah, that sounds like squee to me for sure.
That is awesome. Grace, what are you excited about?
Well, it's funny, Sarah, you were saying you were dreading people picking the same songs. And while, of course, I want to see as many different parodies as possible, one thing that I thought was just so funny last year was like how people were on the same wavelength with certain things. Like, I think they were maybe 4, 5, maybe even Landfair parodies last year. Now, of course, that could just be people
pandering.
Yeah, pandering maybe. I don't know. And then there were literally two exactly the same to the same song, both about Morgays. And that was just so, and I'm sure that's disappointing to the people who submit those songs. But to me as a fan watching, I'm like, oh, how cool is it that we like think the same or happen to think of the same thing? So my thing that I'm most excited for this year is to see what themes come up, like to see if there's a particular character that gets mentioned a lot, or, you know, a type of song that happens, or if there's any duplicate songs that maybe are about completely different things, which would be really cool to see. So, I just like to see how the fandom interacts with each other and how we get on the same wavelength.
Do you want to take a guess at what that theme's going to be?
I feel like it's going to be a Fael year is my, maybe it's just what I want, but yeah. I hope this is Fael's year.
Okay. All right.
We've had a lot of Landfair, Nynaeve. Yeah. Let's give some Fael love.
Salia, what do you think? Is there going to be what theme do you want to see?
Oh, do I want to see, or do I think
whatever. No. Either or, whatever you feel. I think feel. What do you want to see?
I haven't thought about that at all, to be honest. I just love seeing everybody's submissions, whether they're a repeat.
I'm going to give you a hint to say Matt.
Sure, but... Well, I mean, I do love Matt parodies, I have to admit. I think that all of the ones last year were actually my favorite. Were some of my favorites. Okay. I have to say they do have a slight edge when a parody is about your favorite character. It does give it a slight edge.
Bias.
No such thing exists.
So you're saying that if somebody did make a Fael parody that you wouldn't have any bias, Grace?
I would definitely have bias, but I don't think there is an overarching Fael bias within the fandom. As there is with Matt.
I wonder if there are reasons for that. Anyways, Sarah, is there a theme you want to see?
First, before I make predictions, I want to make an observation about the past. It just occurred to me just now, Natalia and I both did Matt videos last year.
Mm-hmm. We did.
So there was a little synchronicity right there. Mm-hmm. So I'll be curious to see. Because I'm not telling and she's not telling, it'll be interesting to see if we do it about the same character again this year.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be really interesting.
But my actual prediction is actually also about Salia. I think that her picking a Lin-Manuel Miranda song for last year's entry, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda. And he has such a big library of stuff. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if we get like a Hamilton entry or another Moana entry, or, you know, or an Encanto entry. So I'm thinking that might be something to look out for. But yeah, it'll be fun. It is a little bit like, showing up at a party wearing the same party dress as somebody else. So there is an element of who wore it better with it. And unless you're a bridesmaid in the bridal party, you don't necessarily want your dress to match, but it'll be fun either way. It'll be fun. That's the important thing, right, is that we have fun. So
I do want to say, Sarah, that because yours was shown the day before mine, when I saw yours, I was like, oh, no, nobody's going to like mine now because hers is so good. Everybody's going to love that one instead. That is exactly what I thought when I watched yours. It was so good. Oh. And I loved the line about teaching Oliver swear words.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, but, you know, it's interesting, you know, you just never know who's gonna go far and who's not, because there's some in that first round this year and the year before, or last year and the year before, the first year, where I saw it and I was like, oh, for sure, that song's winning. And it's not the song that won. Mm-hmm. Or this song, oh, that song, you know, that's okay. And there's just, you never know, because people people felt very strongly about my first video. I couldn't believe that Matt, the innkeeper, got weepy over mine. And I was like, what just happened? I could not believe. I still am kind of in shock and we're 2 years on, and I think about that and I'm just, so yeah, like I said, emotion overload. I have to stop. Why am I doing this podcast? I can't think of this.
I believe we have a disclaimer about this at the beginning of our podcast that we do make people cry. But yeah, I think everybody got weepy, Sarah, for your parody. It was just gorgeous. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My quick prediction. I think a lot of Dark Friends Forsaken. I just feel like that's, for some reason, I want to see that. And maybe it'll just turn into be like Landfear parodies again. But I hope not. I hope they're like more than just Landfear parodies this year. And a lot of, like, you know, other Dark Friend kind of parodies.
This is a G-rated podcast, so I can't say a lot. But I hope that there are no Kevin inspired. Well, actually, I kind of hope that there are some Kevin inspired parodies. But we will see.
Oh, wow.
We will see.
Yeah. I think Kevin said he is working on one. So I'm curious to see how that goes for him.
Creator, give me strength.
I think that's almost exactly what I tweeted to him when he said that he finished writing his song. I was like, oh, no.
There will be much face palming as that song plays.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, Salia, do you have a favorite parody from previous What Idols that stands out to you?
One. You have to choose one. No.
Just one.
Maybe not a favorite, but just one that really stood
speaks
out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the first one that actually comes to mind is Slylocks from not last year, but actually from the very first year. His dark force. I think that was the one where I was like 100% hooked when I listened to that one on going back and listening to the finals. I just listened to that over and over and over again throughout the whole year. And then from there, I was just kept listening to the entire playlist. Basically, the playlist from the past 2 years is my music that I listen to. I don't really listen to other music. I just listen to WAP parodies now. So yeah, that one, I think, got me completely hooked. And then I started really loving a whole bunch of other ones. Like, there are so many great ones. As for last year, I think I cried for a week every single time I listened to Min's Lament. Like, I would just start bawling. It was just amazing. The second half is just amazing.
I may have listened to Slylocks Dark Force last night.
Really?
I just realized that what you said is true for me too, where when I saw that one, I was like, this is just amazing. Like, I was sold on it too. I mean, I never ended up doing a parody, right? But I think that was really awesome.
There are two that I have to mention. One is a video and an artist, and the second is just by itself. I don't think that I cannot mention Alyssa Powers. Yeah. Amazing videos, not just the ones from the contest, and that one from the first year just blew me away and like raised the bar for the second year. I think everybody was aspiring to what she was doing that first year, or at least I was. Great music, great parody video, great production values, both audio and video. And so just amazing. And the other that I have to mention is Andrel the Bards, who not only does, you know, his music is part of the theme song for the Dusty Wheel every single week, but also his Billie Eilish parody was so quality, so good. And the video that went along with it was so creative. I just, I'm hoping that he enters this year. I love him. I love his music. I am really excited for that. But yeah, that the Billie Eilish one really got me in the feels. As and Alyssa, she is the queen.
So. Yeah, yeah. Grace,
how do I have to answer this one?
Of course you do.
The one that stands out for me is Lesbie Nerdies from last year. The one, it's Wait For It, and which was another Lin-Manuel parody, actually.
Or as we like to call, Min-Laniel.
Min-Laniel.
So Sarah, before you came on in like, you know, the pre-show, I was trying to remember Min... I'm saying it wrong again, Lin-Manuel Miranda's name, and I kept saying Min, and then so as forever for the future now, I'm going to like call him Min-Laniel Miranda, just for the purpose of Wheel of Time Idol. Yes.
I mean, it's a parody of his name, right?
So. Yeah. So you like...
But yes, the Wait For It by Lesbie Nerdy, because, you know, I'm a sucker for Perrin and Fayil, and I feel like that part of the books gets a lot of...
flack.
Negativity. Yeah, a lot of flack. And so I like that somehow she managed to poke fun at it, but also make you feel... sympathetic towards Perrin, and I just thought it was very beautiful, and like very like kind of vulnerable and sweet. So I really love that one.
I would agree.
Can I add that to my list?
Yes,
I would agree that I did not. I wouldn't say go as far as say I didn't like care for that part, but after listening to that parody, I was like, yeah, RJ wrote that pretty well, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
After hearing Jenny sing about it.
Yeah, she makes some good arguments for like, yeah, you know.
She really does.
Yeah. She does a great job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful song too.
It is. Oh, so it's so well done. Yeah. Yeah. So my favorite. I just loved how Seth and Aradia, their chemistry, the lyrics, the song, and how they recorded it. Everything about that was just like, it was like my, like in my head, like what a parody like truly is, you know, like they like imitated the original video. Like there were so many parts of it that was just so good. And and there's something about Aridia's voice that I really loved, you know, the how it starts, and you know, the riffing to the dog instead of guitar and the keyboard.
Keyboards.
It was just so, there was so much about that I absolutely love. And I do go back listening to that a lot, just because it's just so funny. And they use, you know, like inside jokes within the fandom, and like, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many things like that alluding to previous parodies. And
it's very meta. It was very meta. The innkeeper in flames.
Yeah, exactly that. And, you know, like, I think they maybe Drew was in there too. I don't know. I think there were like so many mentions and meta things that I was just it's a big favorite of mine. So, you know, just kind of a couple of things before we kind of get towards the end of our recording tonight. Any advice for people who, you know, who are hesitant to submit a parody, to write a parody? You know, what's the one thing you would tell them?
Just do it. Just do it. If you try to come up with all the reasons you should do it, what you're really doing is coming up with all the reasons that you shouldn't do it. Just do it. Because once you're starting it, it's like, well, I started, I may as well finish. There's really nothing for it but to get started.
Perfect. I like that. Saya?
I just say, like I said before, this is the most safe space on the internet that you could possibly find to open up and share something that you created. And yeah, like Sarah said, just do it. Because yeah,
you'll thank really, yourself. You'll...
It's really rewarding. Not just the community reaction, but actually seeing something on the Dusty Wheel that you created, that was actually really huge for me. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on the Dusty Wheel, kind of. yeah.
Yeah, no, that is great advice, I think. Just do it. Just ask. You know, like just, you know, take that step. That's yeah, I think that's important.
And exactly, you can always reach out to the community for help. People yes. are completely ready to give tips, advice, to just help you wherever you need. If you're feeling bad about one section, you can tweet out like, I'm not liking my vocals, and you're gonna get tons of tweeting back, like, it's just love and support to help you, to just encourage and cheerlead you on to the finish line.
Yeah, and, you know, there's, like, you know, collaborations that end up happening because of, you know, that. So, yeah, I think that is just being active. I mean, I'm pretty sure on the Dusty Wheels Discord server, that channel, the Watt Idol channel, is the most active channel and has been for probably the last year. You know, we haven't had a lot of news, and parodies have kept us going for the most part. So yeah, I think asking and collaborating, there are so many options for that. Grace, you wanna?
Do I have advice?
No, not okay. Oh. I guess I was gonna let you take the next thing, but if okay. you have advice, sure.
You've got me like so like on my toes. Like, am I gonna have to answer?
No. Well, if you want to.
Well, I think asking for support is a big one, and it's often like, especially if you wait till the last minute. Which, if you're listening to this and you haven't started yet, then you probably will be. You often find that things get the most discouraging, frustrating, disappointing towards the end of the process. And so that happened to me last year. Like, I was almost done, but I just kept feeling defeated over various things. And I would get tired because I would stay up late working on it. And then I'd start to feel bad. I reached out to Melindra and Rob, who were also writing parodies, and I can't remember exactly what they said, but they both just said really nice, supportive things, and it gave me the boost I needed to keep going. So don't give up. Reach out for support and keep going, because it will definitely pay off in the end, because it did for me, and I'm so glad that I did it. Without spoiling anything, could you maybe tease your parodies for this year with just one word?
Just one word. Oh my goodness. I guess a game. during the last Watt Idol At some point, the innkeeper said, "Everybody, come back and do this just like last year. Bring your A game." And I was like, "All right, this is, I'm bringing my A game this time."
All right, cool. That let the theorizing start. Sarah, one word. How do you tease your parody without spoiling it?
One word. Let's go with funk.
Funk. Okay. All right. That is A game and funk. I think we are in for a treat, everyone. we have
I don't know that that's the right word to describe it, but it is a word to describe it. I hope that it's the right word to describe
it. That is I love it. That is awesome. Cool. Yeah, so I think, you know, sometime in April, we don't have exact dates yet for the actual the shows that we're going to have for Wheel of Time Idol, but sometime in April is most likely when the shows will happen. The submission deadline is Monday, April 3rd, and you can find pretty much all the information for this on WOT Idol. So that's WOTIdol.com. The submission form is on there. All the rules are on there as far as, you know, submission guidelines, you know, all the other rules in terms of how, you know, what's allowed, what isn't allowed, how you should format things to be able to submit and participate. And again, all the information, if you have questions and things like that. So there's, options there to reach out. Obviously reach out to us here at the Lights Work. And obviously these wonderful people, they're on, you know, social media too, and we'll share their information so they can, share their pearls of wisdom and advice with everyone. But yeah, Wheel of Time Idol submission deadline, by the time this comes out, would be about a week. And historically, that last week is when people really start ramping up their production and the submissions come piling in. So Lauren from Unraveling the Pattern is keeping quite the count right now on Twitter. He's been posting pretty much every time there's a submission, and he's like, "We got another one." And I've been lucky to be part of the behind the scenes for this edition. So I'm not going to say much more than that. So I think I'm excited. I'm very excited is all I'm going to say.
I was hoping to have mine done by now, but because I actually wrote the lyrics the week after WOT Idol finished last year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I know. I've been sitting on it for this long. So... And I actually did all of the audio before the beginning of this year, but I'm still pushing up right against that deadline with the video. Various things just came up with life.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this earlier, but I mean, it's not like I didn't have a whole year to come up with it, but we're down to the last minute here. I was still revising my lyrics right up until yesterday morning at about 9 o'clock until I could start recording. As soon as I started recording, I was like, okay, now I'm done with the lyrics because I'm recording and it's too late to change it. And then I changed it while I was recording. Right.
That's good.
But everything goes through various drafts. There was the concept lyrics, and then there was the first rough draft lyrics, and then there was the first finished draft lyrics, and then there was the 2.0 lyrics, and then the 2.1 version, and then that got scrapped, and it's a 3.0. It's just an ever-evolving process.
That sounds like my audio recordings. I have, the final version, then final version 0.2, then final version 0.3, Like, yeah, exactly.
What do you have, Grace?
If I do it, which I make no guarantees, my word is fandom.
Apropos.
I know.
Okay. Very right? Apropos.
Okay. This is good.
And I do have to qualify my answer of funk is that it is more aspirationally funk than it is actually funk. I'm gonna stop.
We'll be the judge of that.
I'm an idiot.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. History, if you look at history and how things have unfolded in the past, I think you will see that it'll be as funk AF.
It will be funk AF.
Cool. Grace, you wanna do our rapid questions?
Me to do all the rapid questions?
No. I'm just saying, like, let's. You want to move to that?
Yes, we should move on to our rapid questions for sure.
So what we do at the end of our episode is do rapid questions with our guests. These are, you know, one choice or a choice from a list or a yes and no question that you should answer as your instinct, you know, first reaction, gut answer, and you will be held to it forever. So what we'll do is one of us will ask a question. We'll have Salia, you can go first, and then Sarah, you can go, answer each question, you know, like that. And you want to get started, Grace?
Sure. Favorite Wheel of Time book?
The Dragon Reborn.
The Great Hunt.
Favorite character?
Matt.
Rand.
Favorite season one episode?
I think episode 3.
I am going to go with episode 3.
Good choice.
Favorite actor on the show?
Lord, they're all so good. I mean, I really did enjoy Barney Harris, and I'm really excited to see Donald Finn.
Donald's amazing.
Madeline Madden.
Oh, yeah. Maddie's great. Favorite season 2 teaser scene?
Door draw.
The fight scene between the White Cloaks and the Shan in that courtyard.
Yes.
Oh, with Loyal in the background. Nice. Okay. Which song is better, Weep for Manetherin or The Man Who Can't Forget?
Weep for Manetherin.
Weep for Manetherin. Oh, yes. By like a wide margin for me, Weep for Manetherin.
Sarah was like, you have to think about this song.
The shock. Will we hear Jack of the Shadows on the TV show?
Ooh, I hope so. That would be really cool.
If the creator wills it.
So shout out to Maury. If we don't, we'll riot. Mm-hmm. Which,
as we should.
Which Wheel of Time character would be the best at karaoke?
I mean, Matt does like to be in a bar and he likes to sing, so I have to go with Matt again.
I'm going to go with Tom.
Oh,
the Gleeman, of course, would be amazing at karaoke.
Yes. Of course.
Of course, he would disdain it and trash talk it and have horrible things to say about people who engage in it. Mm. But should he deign to do karaoke, he would be amazing at it.
It's true.
Like start with a ballad, go into hip hop, and then like just like this whole number, you know, where he's just, you know.
On a brief detour, there's that great scene, spoilers, I guess. I don't know how spoiler we are, but I mentioned The Great Hunt is my favorite book. There's that great scene with Tom talking about acting, and it's basically like actors on a stage doing a play, mm-hmm. and he's like all huffity huff about it. He's in just a snit about how dare they do this. It's not like doing it with the power of a ballad, and he's just so pretentious about it. Mm-hmm. You gotta know he's gotta be that way about karaoke too. We have the evidence. It's right there in the books.
Totally. He would be.
All right, cool. No, that was Grace. Who's the best at karaoke?
Oh gosh, you know, as I wrote this question, I thought about it, and I had someone in mind, but now I can't remember who it was. Let's go with Loyal. I feel like Loyal would have a nice, booming, beautiful voice. He's a tree singer, so I would. I think people would be very entertained seeing an Ogier doing karaoke.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Moraine. You know how Moraine dances with the boys, and they're like, "Wow, like she dances so well." So she has some hidden talents, and she probably like is an amazing singer too, and was like, you know, took singing lessons in the courts of Carrion.
Of course,
and was just, you know, like Moraine, you know, yeah. Are we doing favorite fandom moment of the week?
I don't know. I asked you in our Google Doc. I don't know. Are we? I guess we should. We always do. We have to do it.
What's your favorite fandom moment of the week?
My favorite fandom moment of the week was when my bestie Anas came over and we had a little birthday brunch for him yesterday. And that was really fun. It's not fandom as in a global sense, but I wouldn't have had such a nice brunch party if it wasn't for the fandom.
I have to choose that too. I mean, it was a surprise.
Was it though?
Well, I mean, it's as well as a surprise that can happen when someone is wary of surprises and can sniff out surprises, I guess. But no, it was wonderful. It was obviously great to hang out, and it's the fandom is when you meet other fans like we are meeting right now, you know, meeting in person obviously is something that, you know, I hope all of us can get to do and enjoy. And thank you. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Shout out to Jessica Sadai, by the way, who helped with a lot of the planning and pulled off what I think was the biggest surprise of your party. Do you want to tell everyone what you weren't expecting?
So yeah, I pretty much not guessed, but you know, had, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm not surprised by that. But I like walk in, you know, for our two guests, you see where those balloons are in the background there? There was a life-size cutout of Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, in that corner. So that's something you can't see when you walk into the living space in the corner. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome, you know, like, all this stuff. And I turn around, and I'm like, whoa! And I just started laughing, because it was, like, huge, and I'm a big fan of Obi-Wan. And so that was just, did not expect that, and that was awesome.
I have an Obi-Wan question.
Okay.
My Obi-Wan question is Alec Guinness Obi-Wan or Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan?
I grew up with Ewan McGregor. So for me, not that Alec McGuinness isn't Obi-Wan for me. When I think of Obi-Wan, it's Ewan McGregor. Just because that
and
was... And
before I lose all fan cred, it is, I think I said McGinnis and led you astray. It is Alec Guinness, not McGinnis.
Okay.
I think before the Star Wars fandom falls down upon my head and smites me from the internet.
Alec Guinness. I just Googled it.
Alec Guinness and Ewan Gregor.
There's no Mick anymore.
Yeah. So no, thank you. I think do you guys have any, you know, fandom moments that you can think of from, you know, the last week or a couple weeks or so?
I think my favorite moment was exactly what I spoke about with the fandom just coming out to support people who weren't feeling positive about their submissions or having moments of doubt. Specifically, Melinda tweeted out earlier this week that she was really frustrated with her audio, how her audio was sounding, and there was just this outpouring. And Dasherman tweeted to something really sweet, and then he followed that up with, "You're gonna nail it like a mirror drawl to a door." And I was like, I was like, that's perfect. Because it's like so kind and supportive, but it's also absolutely hilarious. So that was my favorite moment.
Sarah, you got one?
I think that it was this week. One of the Prime accounts, I want to say it was Prime UK account, I think, said that if they got enough responses that they have something that they're going to be releasing, and the more responses they got, maybe they would do it sooner. So the prospect that there might possibly be news on the horizon was exciting to me. I don't know if it's fake news or not. It will probably end up being fake news. But that moment of hope was my greatest fandom moment of the week.
There was a tweet like that that I saw, but it was from last year. I'm not sure if that's the same one, but there was like some hype surrounding it like recently, and some of like my response to it was getting likes, but it was from like a year ago. So I don't know if that's the same one, but definitely beware of the fake news with stuff like that.
Oh, can I change my answer? I have to change my answer. Okay. I have to change
have
my
to?
Answer.
Okay.
I have a much better answer.
Okay, sure.
My answer for the favorite fandom moment of the week is the new lesbi nerdy and everyday Negroes read through that they're going to be doing. I mean, who doesn't love lesbi nerdy? And her and doing a first time reader follow along is so exciting. I am so looking forward to that. The first episode is out. I hasn't had a chance to dive into it, but I am so excited for it. It looks to be a lot of fun. I'm a sucker for first-time read-throughs, all the podcasts, all the YouTube channels. And so this is just another one to add to the collection of great stuff.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Sarah. That is the crossover event we have all been dreaming of. So it's really exciting.
All right, cool. No, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. Thank you for sharing your time and your contribution to Wheel of Time Idol and the fandom in general. I mean, you guys are inspirational to a lot of us. And I hope when this goes out, people listen to this and are able to put out their parodies or are inspired to make parodies. So thank you so much for being here.
Anis, if people want to submit a parody, how do they do that?
Yes, good question. If you go to WotIdol, that's WOTIdol.com, all the rules are up there. The submission form is there. The deadline is April 3rd. So we have plenty of time, folks. So, all the rules are there so you can submit online and become a part of this. All right. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Find us on social media. Where can we find you guys? Salia, what's the best place to find you?
Well, I do occasionally get onto Twitter, more frequently recently with the Wa Idol announcement. So my Twitter handle is Salia Al-Onir, and I also have a YouTube account under the same name, and in addition to You're Welcome, I've also created a couple other parodies that I've posted there throughout this year. So, I'm also on Discord. Sorry.
I can be found on Twitter at tgauthor.com. I can be found on Twitter at tgauthor. Because it was supposed to be a promotional account for my writing, but instead it's a promotional account for the Wheel of Time. So.
Funny how that happens.
Oh, that's awesome. Hello, it's future Anas and Grace again.
Hello, hey guys. From the future.
Oh, this has been an awesome, another awesome recording, right?
But totally. We were so good.
We got a new patron, so we're like, we have to do this. We have to say hi to our past selves again and shout out our new patron, Spud Monkeys, who is joining our Flicker of Light here. Thank you so much, Sweat Monkeys. You have been so generous with all your words in our Discord server, and you know, this is just another, you know, another amazing thing you've done. I am, you know, just blown away when I, you know, get a new patron or something like that, and I'm like, wow, thank you so much.
Yeah. Elder Spud Monkey Haman, you are so sweet and kind. You have given us some of the nicest feedback, in particular this last week when you said that you came home and you wanted to relax and get cozy, and the way you did that was by listening to us. So I'm so glad we can be that
by
for
listening
you.
To their favorite podcast. I was like, wah!
Well, I wasn't going to say that part, but yes, incredibly sweet and kind, and you've been really supportive of other people in the server. You do the lights work. We love you, and thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. And I don't know where I'm going to put this in, so hey, well, Sally and Sarah.
There was that part where I had to leave to go get my groceries because they came early. So maybe we could just put it there if it's awkward to edit.
again, thank you so much. And bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to follow us, you can find us on social media, too. We're on Twitter at LightsWorkPod, on Instagram at the LightsWork. You can join our Discord server. There is a lot of, you know, fun stuff that we get up to in our Discord server. And if you're able, sponsor us on Patreon. Now it's your turn to go out into the world and do the LightsWork.
The LightsWork is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The LightsWork is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. Follow us on social media or sponsor us on Patreon. So before we get on to the... I'm sorry about that. My grocery delivery is here.